Right. Item number 28.
Item 28, from Corporation Counsel, yeah, submitting an informational monthly report providing an update on the status of pending litigation. This item was also considered by the Committee on Judiciary Safety and General Services. On September 10th, 2015, that committee took no action. It is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. You have the list in front of you, and I'll go through it quickly with Mr. Bargan's input at times. I'm just going to highlight changes. I'm not going to go through every case on the list unless you have questions. Number two is a lawsuit that was filed by the Deputy Sheriff's Association related to retiree health benefits. And ultimately, the short answer is that they lost for the same reason the other people lost. We had a lawsuit brought by retirees. It was in the name of Hussey. We have other lawsuits. And so once the Seventh Circuit in Hussey's case and the Supreme Court in the Schwagel case found in favor of the county, this case, to be put it bluntly, was doomed. And so the county won at the circuit court level. They nevertheless appealed to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals affirmed in favor of the county. So this case will disappear from the list. Number three, the first case under there is the Angeles case. That case was discussed at Judiciary Committee. There's a settlement that will be in front of the full board, approved by Judiciary Committee this cycle. We are resolving that case with a payment of attorney's fees. The total dollar amount is actually $140,000 in attorney's fees, but $35,000 of that is the county's share and coming from the mutual insurance company. The Judiciary Committee did approve that, and it will be in front of the board at the full cycle. So assuming the full board approves that, that case will drop off of this list as well. I'm going to go to the second page then. The Riverkeeper case, I'll let Mr. Bargan speak on it if he'd like to.
Yes, we're proceeding. Plans are proceeding at the Parks Department for moving ahead with repair of the dam. There has been one development. As you recall, the approach that the county board is on record in support and has authorized money for is repair of the dam. The plan by Parks and by our consulting engineers was to repair the dam and add a fishway or a fish passage for migrating fish. The fishway was to be funded with grants. The Parks Department was not able to obtain those grants right now. They still have hope to obtain those in the future. So the plan that will be submitted to the DNR, or is being submitted right about now, will be for repair only, with the prospect of doing the fishway in the future once grant money becomes available or money from the county board or some other source. But the immediate project will be the basic dam repair. And we'll be submitting a report to the court to that effect shortly. The court has said that the repair of the dam will abate the nuisance. I think we'd all like to see the fishway if we're going to repair the dam. But that's the status right now.
Any questions regarding case number six?
Another six.
If not, then I'll move on and just jump down to number 12. This is a lawsuit related to loss of power at the research park in one of the buildings out there, an allegation that as a result the county and the research park were responsible for business revenue loss and loss of a tenant out there. The claim is approximately $800,000. However, as a result of the summary judgment hearing that you see listed on the report, the parties have agreed and the courts agreed that the county's liability by statute is limited to $50,000. And because of that, we're not admitting liability, but that's the most of our liability. And so I'm going to take it off this list because it's, in the scheme of things, a relatively minor case from the county standpoint now. The issue right now in front of the court we're waiting for a decision on is whether the research park's liability is also limited by that same $50,000 limitation. The parties briefed that, and the court is deciding that. We're waiting for a decision. And then, depending on what that decision is, obviously the case may move forward or it may not. I don't know. Number 13, the county board previously approved a settlement of this case in terms of the compensatory damages. The only issue left open by the settlement was the payment of attorney's fees. The parties agreed to brief that issue and make arguments to that issue to the federal court judge, which they have done. We're now just waiting for the judge's decision on the amount of attorney's fees that are owed. The underlying settlement was $30,000. The attorney's fees, I expect, will be more than that, but there's a substantial issue about that because she switched attorneys partway through, and now both attorneys, the first attorney and the second set of attorneys, are making claims, and that leads to the argument about the reasonable amount of claim of attorney's fees. Well, 16 is the Couture Project, Preserve Our Park. We already mentioned that, so I don't think there's anything new to add there. 17, I talked about the deputy sheriff privileged practice complaint that has been filed as a result of the dismissal of the lawsuit and the fact that the sheriff has appealed the dismissal of his claims and to the Court of Appeals. An outside lawyer named Ron Stadler with the firm of Mallory and Zimmerman, who is hired through the mutual, is defending the county on that case. And
number 19 is the related action to the Riverkeeper case. This is the head, Ms. Nen is the head of Riverkeeper. This is the open record, open meetings case against this body, alleging that the action that actually led to the refunding of the refinancing of the repair option that was brought before this committee and then on to the county board was done without proper legal notice, public notice. Mr. Stadler is also handling, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Phillips is handling that one. And Phillips, he's moved to dismiss. It is a somewhat procedural motion, but it is solid in the law. And that motion to dismiss is scheduled for 11 a.m. October 19th. And we'll see what happens there. The only action they're challenging was the action of this committee. They're not challenging the action of the county board. It does kind of raise an interesting question. If this committee action was somehow found to be invalid, what does that say about the county board action? Because the county board action was fully noticed. It was a separate action. It was, as you recall, the subject of quite a bit of debate and actions, motions and questions about germaneness and everything else, but it was fully advised to the public, so it's actually a fairly interesting question from an open meeting standpoint, but Mr. Phillips is defending it very vigorously.
Just to follow up on that, if even if a court were to find an open meetings violation in this or any other case, it doesn't automatically void the action that was taken. Right. It can. It's in the court's discretion. But the court could also find that despite the violation, there's no reason to void the action. So it's not an automatic voiding of the action, even if there is a violation. So.
Supervisor Jersey?
This is the perfect case that underlines why we need to ask court counsel advice every time we go into closed session or every time we take a matter that's not specifically... Because I know some people sometimes say, why are we doing that?
Mm-hmm.
If we rely on corp counsel advice, my understanding is the judge can exercise discretion not to find anybody with liability.
You're correct, Supervisor. It's a possibility, right?
So I think we constantly should protect ourselves in that regard.
Okay, thank you. Right. Any other comments? Questions regarding any of these cases?
Let me just real quickly. Number 20 is a new case. It's added to the list in part because it was the subject of a newspaper article, and it's a salacious case, if you will. But it's a claim of sexual harassment by a staff person against a superior, neither one of which works for us at BHD anymore. But it was a subject of an article, so I thought it should be added to the case because it's of public interest, if you will.
As an issue a few weeks ago?
Right.
Yeah.
Saturday morning.
And then...
One final matter. This committee asked us to explore actions or possibilities related to the actuarial mistake that we've been discussing, and we are doing that. We have engaged or are in the process of engaging a forensic actuary who will be examining this for us. It will all take some time. We'll go from there. We don't have a report yet. We won't, I'm sure, for a while. These are very, as you know, complicated calculations and things that need to be examined, but we are definitely pursuing it.
Thank you. Supervisor Moore Mukunde.
Where can we find these? Can you direct us to where we can find these the full text of these cases?
Yes. The short answer is yes. If you have one in particular, I'd be happy, or if you want them all, but we have access, the public has access, well, we can get you access to the federal court dockets for all the federal court cases. State court dockets are online, free and available online. But that doesn't get you the documents, it just gets you the summary of the case. So if you need specific documents, you probably have to come through our office. We can get
okay. I probably just need summaries. Those are available.
Give me a call or an email and we'll get you.
Okay.
All right. There is one more case on the list that's new. This is Cynthia Archer's lawsuit against D.A. Chisholm and others, and it's on the list because three of the defendants are county employees working in the D.A.'s office as investigators, D.A. investigators, and so they are county employees who are defendants in the lawsuit and are now, through the county mutual, being provided defense by outside counsel again. They're being represented. This case is also being handled by Ron Stadler. I'm sorry. Too many outside counsel. Attorney Sam Lieb of the Wilson Elser Law Firm. And so we're not personally involved in it, but we try to keep track of what's going on. But this is one of those cases that's come out of the John Doe investigations.
Who's representing Cindy Archer?
She has counsel in Madison and counsel in Washington.
And is she doing that in her individual capacity or in her capacity as an employee?
It's a civil rights case, an individual capacity. It's a Washington, one of the Washington law firms that's been active in some of these cases. I don't recall which one.
It's related to Schmitz,
though? Yeah, the group that's been active against Schmitz.
Director Hare?
Mr. Chairman, just one quick point on this case. About 6 or 7 months ago, we issued a memo that highlighted misconduct in the previous administration. I would call it criminal misconduct.
Yes.
There were filings last night in this case that just helped amplify and clarify some of the conclusions we reached back then. So it's going to be an interesting case to watch in terms of tightening up our ship so that bad people can't do bad things or less likely to get away with it in future years.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Which number is
it? 21.
Last 21.
Okay. Archer versus Chisholm.
We did.
Anything else?
We provided an updated list, but I thought it got put into Legistar, so.
You got it?
Thank you all for your time and attention. This meeting is now adjourned.